everybody. Welcome to Prop Live, your weekly prop and costume making Q&A session. I'm Bill.
I'm Britt.
And today we're just playing it fast and loose. You got the two of us for the next hour or so to answer your prop making questions.
And the 3D printers.
And we have two 3D printers behind us doing their damnedest to make some prop stuff for an upcoming build, actually. That's going to be really, really exciting. I'm not going to spill the beans on that one quite yet, but it's cool. It's a collaboration with someone else. And it's really fun.
Yeah, if all goes well, that video will go up next week.
So, yes, right? Yeah. Yes, it will.
Just reminding you of your deadline.
How much work I have to get done on that.
You're doing great.
So far, I'm very happy with what I've pulled off. I'm going to leave it at that. You were working on something.
I was.
Yeah.
On yesterday's live stream, I really wanted to make Bill's gun from Firefly, the one he did the video about. So he put out templates and said at the end of the video, hey, you guys should make your own and then send me a little short video. And I was like, I want to do it. But I wanted to give myself some limitations, some restrictions, and challenge myself. So I worked with cardboard on the stream yesterday. And I was working in the spare bedroom with a very limited space. Like, I had a tiny little cutting mat, and I kept all my materials on there. And it was a mess, and it was really hard to do. Props to all you cosplayers and prop makers out there who have to work in tiny environments. I don't know if I can go back to that on a daily basis. I used hot glue, mainly, was the adhesive that ended up working. Cardboard. The cats were a pain. They did not help. And this is what I got. I'll move it by really fast, because this isn't supposed to be seen up close. No, this is it. Turned out all right. I don't know what's going on down here. Barrel ended up being really fat, but it's a thing. It's a thing made out of cardboard.
Yeah.
Turns out cardboard's hard to work with when you don't know what you're doing.
I've seen some people though who do work with a lot more cardboard a lot more frequently and pull off some really impressive stuff.
Yeah, I brought up on the stream. There's that cardboard challenge for the project with Adam Savage. Remember that Harrison entered it?
Yes, that's
right.
And
he made an amazing cardboard camera.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting it to act a lot like foam in that you can do undercuts and like get your bevels that way. So I made a boxy gun and then had to hack away at it. I should have planned ahead. So, like that part looks good, but this I just left a giant box. I left it as a giant box, but
it's done.
Yeah,
you'll have a video up on that.
Yeah, and the wood grain on it goes this way because the cardboard corrugated thing goes that way, and I tried to do wood grain this way and it didn't work.
Yeah.
So I should have planned it to have the cardboard at an angle.
Mm-hmm.
Just like anything, the second one would be better. So
it will. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see questions getting thrown in the chat. For questions, go to punishprops.com/live. There's a form there. Fill it out. Send your question in that way. It's the easiest way to do it.
Yeah, I'm grabbing the questions now. Thank you for submitting them.
Yes. So send them that way. Awesome. What else do we have here? I made my ring. I'll have a video. We did a casting video last week, but I will have a full video on this build up. Sometime tomorrow. There we go. The original was 3D printed, and then it was molded and cast in pewter. And I've been wearing it for about a week now, and it's holding up okay. I will say, anytime I touch anything in the shop, any tool that's metal, this gets scratched. So I imagine maybe this is the sort of ring I would only wear out on special occasions, maybe not every day in the shop. but yeah, that video is going up tomorrow. I'm excited to share that with you guys. The original was printed on the Form 2 when we had that, and that thing is amazing. Let's see here. Oh, tonight, right? Directly after this, we're going to get in the car, grab a bunch of our stuff, and go to the Soto Makerspace in Seattle. We're going to fight the crowd because there's a sports ball game in that same area. There's I think Seahawks are playing tonight. But we're doing a bit of a social show and tell for prop and costume makers at the Soto Makerspace tonight. And a whole bunch of people signed up, so we're going to go hang out with them, have some pizza, and talk shop.
I'm excited to see the Makerspace. I haven't been there yet, and I hear they have awesome tools.
It's pretty cool. They have a giant laser cutter.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, if you don't have any of their tools in your workspace at home, you should just go there. Just live there. just bring a cot.
Yeah.
And then just sleep in the corner. I mean, like, that is such a cool space. So I'm excited.
Me too. So that'll be really fun. Like I said, we're bringing a bunch of stuff to show off, some stuff we're working on. What else was there? Oh, I wanted to point out, too, when we're there this evening, I'll shoot some video. I'm going to bring my camera. And a lot of the extra stuff we've been doing, the live show now, and extra videos that we do, more vlog-type stuff, those are all going on our second channel, Punished Props Extras. And if you haven't subscribed to that already, you should go over there. This is all of the additional stuff. So we have a vlog where we went to the Sci-Fi Museum with Evil Ted, which was really fun.
He is a wealth of information on props from the industry. So it's so cool.
If you haven't watched that yet, go check it out. My video from BlizzCon is over there. What else? All of our Q&As. So that's just a way to keep our main channel more dedicated to just tutorial content and builds. And this other channel is for... It gives us a little bit more flexibility to try some other stuff. So head on over there if you want to get that extra goodness from us to the Punished Props Extras channel. And there you go. Thanks for joining us tonight, you guys. If you haven't already, you want to submit your questions to us, punishedprops.com/live. And you can do that anytime during the week. At the end of every episode, we take all any leftover questions, we just delete them so that we have a fresh batch every week. So, but we usually get through everything. But anyway, submit your questions, prop and costume related, usually tutorial stuff. If you have something you're working on and you need a hand with, go for it. Or if you just want to know a little bit more about how we do what we do here at Punished Props, feel free to drop those questions in there. That's all I've got. You have anything you want to do before we dive in?
I think that's it. I got a bunch of new questions. Thank you guys for submitting them.
Okay. We got our wonderful prop charts ready to go. We got some questions. And the first one comes from Deathbright, who wants to know if we're excited for tonight. I do believe Deathbright is going to be there.
Yay. Yeah, she's going to be there. Yeah. I think. Unless you're just excited for us.
Yeah, we're stoked. I've been jonesing for an excuse to do more stuff locally, more stuff with other people locally, more reasons to leave our basement.
Yeah, so it turns out there's a lot of cool stuff out there.
Yes.
Like, it's really neat, and it's probably been there for, like, years. We just haven't gone outside.
Yeah. So we're excited.
Yeah.
Very, very excited. Yeah. And pizza. So.
I'm jealous at the idea of, like, growing up with a makerspace nearby. Like, I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah.
Well,
they didn't have them back when we were kids. All right, let's see. Deathbright also wants to know, I find myself drawn to fan art very often. What kind of things, like armor, are you drawn to? What do you like working on the best? I bounce back and forth between sci-fi and fantasy. I've been kind of on a sci-fi kick lately. I really like the Deus Ex game. It's kind of the aesthetic of that world.
Yeah, it's like, I don't want to say cyberpunk.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. I mean, it's a little dirtier sci-fi, a little more, kind of like not clean stuff. Yeah.
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 So I'm more of a sci-fi kick right now, but it ebbs and flows. Something cool will happen. I'll go see a movie or I'll play a new video game that's got like some really cool aesthetic that I like, and I'll be like, now I want to do that.
Yeah, I like just about everything.
Yeah.
Except like I don't have an urge to build things that look like they already exist. So if there's a gun that looks like it's one you could just buy, or a costume that looks like a military uniform, it's just like
something contemporary.
Yeah, or even like I don't know, even like period clothing, like Renaissance wear. Mm-hmm. I like seeing it, but I just don't have the urge to make it.
Yeah,
it's something like there's something about taking a style that doesn't really exist out in the world yet, and incorporating it. Yeah,
like Hobbit clothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there you go. That's what I tend to lean towards. I'm feeling space guns and sci-fi stuff right now.
I'm feeling fantasy.
Yeah.
I think. I'm in that mood. I want to play Skyrim again.
Luau Kuga in the chat is very excited. He used his Twitter account today for the first time to show us him and his son working on Mal's gun with cardboard.
That's awesome! Hey, look! Cardboard! Woohoo!
Yay!
It's very cardboardy.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I love seeing your guys' builds, by the way. Just going on an aside right now. Mm-hmm. I've seen a ton of people doing the Skyrim armor and Mal's gun, and I am so stoked every time I see one of those to know that, like, you guys probably wouldn't have started that if I hadn't done a video on it. So to know that I inspired you guys to try that project out makes me feel awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited to see those Mal's guns finished up. I see Corgeek in the chat. He's doing one out of wood that looks awesome. The prop tart page. There you go. The prop tart page that someone just linked.
That's me.
There you go. people have been sharing their builds over there, and it's been awesome.
Yeah, I really like seeing the builds where you take the knowledge that Bill puts out there, and then you just make your own costume, mm-hmm. too. Like, I don't know if you've been following the Shredder. It's all made out of foam.
Yes.
They just had their holiday party and won the costume prize, got first place. So, yeah, prop tarts represent.
That's right.
At their holiday work party.
I have bad news about my computer mouse. The battery died.
Oh, if only you had batteries.
My batteries are very close.
Right next to you.
All right.
That's all right.
Anders says, when, if at all, will you start taking on more commission clients? Probably it's on an indefinite hiatus, let's say.
Yeah, we need to update a lot of stuff on our website, just like general information, like upcoming conventions and our stance on commissions. Yeah. I'm thinking that the commission thing will make more clear and just be like, hey, yeah, we're not doing them, unless it's for maybe a company that we really like. Because otherwise, we're just making tutorial videos for you guys.
Right.
We don't have time to make, you know, things for sale so much anymore.
Yep. It's just, I just don't want to do commissions anymore. It's the main thing. I would rather spend my time building something for me or for a friend and then making content around it. That's how I would prefer to spend my time. Which is ironic because I got into this because I love making stuff for myself. And then while I was doing commission work for years, I never got to make anything for myself. It was always something for someone else. But now I'm kind of getting back into making stuff for myself again. So, TLDR, probably not ever again.
Oh, Eric in the chat says, yeah, if you're working on the Malcolm Reynolds gun build, if you use the hashtag PP100K, that you will see other people's guns they're working on.
I'm going to search for that right now on Twitter.
I know Eric's been using it on Instagram.
Well, let's see what's on Twitter.
Hashtag PP100K.
Searching for... All right.
Yeah, look at that. Oh, is that one out of foam?
Zach. Zach's working on it.
Zach's making his out of foam.
Looks like it.
Gonna be cool.
Is he really using a file on there?
Wow. Why not? I mean, I'll find out if it doesn't work out. Yep. Yeah, you remove the texture. Oh, his looks better than mine. I need to put more effort into my cardboard.
PP on Twitter, at least, PP100K is taken by something.
For a Portugal thing? Yeah, that's fine.
Let's check Instagram. All right, we'll check that one, too. Search. Boop. And 13 posts. Yeah, look at this. Oh, this is awesome.
That's so cool.
There's this guy, but there's also, there's Eric's. Whose is this? Nacho Props. Yeah.
Yeah, Nacho Props. That's awesome.
This one here is Strange Brit Props. A little bit of progress on that one.
That's so cool.
There's Eric's again.
I want to make one out of foam.
Silent Warlock Cosplays 3D printing it.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's awesome.
That is really neat.
And then the rest are Eric, I think. Yeah. Well, cool. Cool. Thanks for getting that started, Eric. Let's grab another question. The last one came to us from Anders. Thank you, Anders. Rose says, do you have any good tips for painting something that you don't want to look beaten up in the final product, especially if the piece is black? I have a piece of armor that is black, but it needs to look more new. However, I know detail won't show if it isn't highlighted. Yeah, it's really tricky if you have a dark, flat color like black, and there isn't any edge weathering on it or any contrast. It's going to look very flat. But here, I'll give you an example. My cell phone.
The next question is similar as well.
Yeah.
I put them together.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah. Matt says, any tips on shading or weathering a black prop or armor piece? So my cell phone case is black. And it's aluminum, and I believe it's anodized. But the edge of it is still shiny. Focus. Oh, it still wants to see your face. Focus. There we go. Okay. But the edge of it, the anodization is still worn off. It looks flat and black. But the edge of it is still shiny and kind of silver. It is more of a subtle effect, though. Because this is a finish that has worn off over lots and lots of time, putting it into and taking out of my pocket. So it's kind of a tricky thing to get. Some very subtle dry brushing with like just a brush and some silver paint. Very, very subtle on just the edge, to try and call out that edge. You're not trying to highlight it. You're just trying to create a tiny bit of contrast.
I was wondering if these questions came in because of the Death Trooper that's in the new Rogue One. That's just speculation. Tessa just put up a video on getting to check out the Innovos Death Trooper helmet. It's shiny black, and that's kind of a good way to... It's almost like white has the same problem, but with black, at least the highlights are going to look white. So a white shiny prop, you almost don't even see the shiny bits.
This is really cool. If you guys haven't checked it out yet, Tested put up a video on... I'll drop a link in the old chat-a-roo there. They did a video showing off this new helmet, and in the end of the video, they have measurements, which I think is just really, really cool. But you can see the black sort of shininess on the... this video is actually a tiny bit underexposed, so it's kind of hard to see... see the contrast in there. But actually, let's go back.
It's neat that they did this, though.
Yeah, you could. Something you can do is the most of the helmet is shiny, but these lighter spots, these vertical lines that are lighter, if they're matte, if you just mask it off and spray it with like some matte clear coat or a matte black spray paint or a matte airbrush or whatever, they'll all be black, but those. There'll be a little bit of contrast there because the matte color will look a little bit different. It really depends on the thing you're making, but start playing with specularity, just some really, really subtle dry brushing, and maybe some shininess, some really, really shininess. But definitely go watch that video because it's awesome.
Yeah, it's hard because Matt's question is for shading and weathering. That's a little easier than Rose was looking for a clean...
Yeah.
Prop. Because if it's dirty, you can just think about the environment it's in and the crevices, put some browns in there.
Right, or some yellow ochres or something.
Some lighter dust.
Yeah.
That would be helpful. That's like with the white stormtroopers, they have some brown dust in the crevices if they're in that environment, and it makes it have a lot more depth.
Mm-hmm.
But for clean stuff, that is super hard.
Yep. All of these things require a subtle touch. So a little bit of practice goes a long way to try and figure out to get exactly the effect you're trying to go for. So those questions came from Rose and Matt. Thank you guys very much. The next question comes to us from Tim. What's the best way to smooth out Chavant clay and make a really even and smooth surface? So if you're sculpting something and you've mashed a bunch of stuff on your clay and it's kind of got an uneven surface, I haven't done a ton of sculpting like this, but I do know that a rake can help you a lot. It's like a wooden or a metal thing with teeth on it, and as you rake across the surfaces, it'll start to chew through the layers until it's down fairly flat, and then you can use some other tools to flatten it out a little bit. So look for a rake. Let's see, sculpting rake. Actually, if you go to the Complete Sculptor, this is a really good resource. They have a listing for all kinds of clay tools or sculpting tools, I should say. These guys are awesome. Let's see here. Sculpt.com, by the way.
Yeah, their website isn't the prettiest, but it works really well. And their stuff's awesome.
It gets the job done.
Yeah.
So they have all kinds of really cool sculpting tools. This is a rabbit hole you could easily jump down. Scrapers, rakes, here we go. Yeah, like those things. Look at those. Those are cool.
What kind of clay is Siobhan? Is it oil?
I think it's like a wax base.
Wax?
Yeah.
Because I've used monster clay recently, and that was wax based, but that's my only experience.
Yeah, we don't have a ton of experience with like traditional sculpting. Mm. So there you go. There's some tools for you to try out with your sculpting. Hey, Time Jumper's here.
Hey.
Hey, TJ. Good to hang with you, buddy. A quick reminder, gang, if you haven't already, head on over to punishprops.com/live and submit any of your prop and costume making questions or any general Q&A for me and Britt this fine evening. We'll be happy to answer them for you. Kind of like this question from Nerdy Views. Nerdy Views wants to know, how did your 2016 goals go and what are your goals for 2017? I haven't dove through my 2017 goals yet. Where am I?
We'll have to do a goals.
My goals are right here.
Yeah, we'll have to do a goals episode again. Because you did... Was that a year ago, the last time you did that?
Uh-huh.
Wow. I'm curious how all the Prop Tarts goals are going, too. The ones who watched that episode. Because I know some people made goals.
Yeah. Well, I'll do a quick recap. Published 2 books. I only did one. I kind of fell short on that. I really should have got my other book done. 150,000 YouTube subscribers was my goal, and we're at 100, almost 130.
I think that's, we hit 130,
good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. If we get 20,000 more in the next week, then yeah, we'll hit it. But up from 65, so we've doubled. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've doubled it.
Yeah,
it's pretty awesome.
Bill likes to set high goals.
I do.
Might as well.
I made a goal for YouTube ad revenue. We're just about there. I made a goal for gross revenue for our business, which we did, we beat, which is awesome. Overall, we did pretty great. Some of the things that we've tracked were zero before, and they're still zero now. So now I know that's not really a priority.
Yeah,
so I will reevaluate those going into 2017.
Things that aren't going to happen.
Yeah.
That's fine. We have enough stuff to do.
But overall, we did pretty good. Mm-hmm. Pretty good. I do know that there are going to be some goals reset for next year that are going to be completely different than stuff we've done before in the past. Because there are some other areas in my life, not even for the business, but just areas in my life that I want, where I want to push myself to try new things. And setting goals is a good way to do it. Yeah. Go big or go home. That's right, Brooks Creations. Go big or go home. All right. That was a good question. Thank you, Nerdy Views. Big Sexy Matt wants to know, do you have any recommendations on which 3D printer I should buy as a first-time printer? I have a decent amount of 3D printing knowledge, so I don't want a little beginner printer. Really depends on your budget, I would say.
Yeah, and we were talking about this recently. If it's a hobby, I could totally see getting a kit and putting it together and getting to know how to use every single part and completely understand how your printer works. For us as a business, we don't have time to own a printer like that. So we like the plug and play printers, and I don't care how it works as long as it works. So, and if I get a nice one that doesn't need maintenance, I don't really have to learn all the parts of it.
We can tell you the experience we've had with a couple of printers. We have the Ultimaker right now, which is going, doing its thing, which is a fantastic printer. It's got a great print volume. It can print with a variety of materials, and it's fairly expensive. The Dremel right next to it there is a lot cheaper at about $1,000, and that guy has been a champ. Mm-hmm. Now, it'll only do PLA, but we print in PLA for the most part anyway. So it's not as flexible, but it's still got a pretty good print volume, and it's incredibly reliable. It worked right out of the box, no problem. I have heard lots of people say they like this guy here, the Prusa i3 Mark II.
Is that the one that Bob did the video on?
Yes.
Okay.
This guy is really, like, I think the most bang for your buck right here. It's a pretty good size print volume. This is for the kit, $700. I think for a couple hundred more bucks, they'll send you one that works right out of the box. But I've heard it, the print quality compared to that of the Ultimaker, which is really impressive.
It's just printing a giant cube.
Yeah.
Then send that to Harrison, that would anger him.
Yeah, that's about all I know I haven't tried a lot of different 3D printers, but if you go to 3D.pn, the 3D printing nerd, he does a lot of reviews. Joel Telling, our buddy Joel. And, who else? Tom, there's a guy, another guy named Tom, a German dude, who does some really good 3D printer reviews. These are guys who do lots of 3D printing, lots of reviews. They've tried a lot of different machines and materials, and they know what they're talking about. I have only tried a couple of, here we go. Thomas Sandlanderer. This guy. He's been testing different filaments, like, he's got his act together. Yeah,
hashtag Filoween.
So we'll put links to their stuff in the show notes. You guys ought to go check all of those out. Tom Sandlander. There we go.
That pretty much goes for any kind of tools that we use. Mm-hmm. We've only ever used really a couple of them, like a couple different kinds of bandsaws, one scroll saw. Like, we don't have the experience of trying out a different kind of the same tool. Unless it breaks, we have to get another one.
Right.
So it's what we have works.
Or the bandsaw that I have. The big one I have, a friend of mine was selling it. So I'm like, I guess I'll get that one.
Yeah, it wasn't like we did any research on it. We literally just kind of fell into.
Same thing with my drill press. There was a big drill press for sale on Craigslist. That was a pretty good price, so I bought it.
Yeah.
I needed a drill press. That's that one.
That's our second drill press. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do know that the one I got from Harbor Freight was terrible.
Yes. So. Like most tools from Harbor Freight.
All right. Thank you, Big Sexy Matt. That was a good question. Good luck on your 3D printer hunt. Our buddy Baca has a question. How indispensable a tool has 3D printing become to your prop making? And curious about PLA versus ABS. I've actually got some experience messing with ABS today. Hooray! These machines are great. I love using them. My skill set is very custom fit for using a 3D printer. And so, for example, the project I'm working on right now, that's a secret, you'll see next week. There are a couple of parts that I could totally have made through traditional means, but I needed a couple of them. Just a couple, not enough to really justify making a mold. So I was like, oh, machine, print them. And now they're printing those parts out. They're going to fit together with some mechanical pieces or some electrical pieces, some lights. They'll fit perfectly because I measured them all. I got my calipers around here there, so I just measured everything. It works just fine. And then these machines are working while we're doing a live show. How convenient is that? Awesome.
You know a material is the future for prop and costume making?
What's that? Cardboard.
Cardboard. Make everything out of cardboard.
Cardboard Smith. New book coming soon.
Cardboard.
2017.
I would have to practice for a year before I get good at cardboard smithing. It is not a forgiving material.
No. As far as ABS and PLA, that machine is printing in PLA right now, and that machine is printing in ABS. And I wanted to use ABS because I really haven't had much experience with it. And I've been having some trouble getting it to stick down to the build plate. So,
and that comes back to us just needing plug and play options.
Right.
We don't have time to fiddle and add adhesives and babysit a print. We just need it to work.
Yeah. So if I print it in PLA, it's kind of a pain to sand, but I'm good at sanding already. So I'll just do that, I guess. Although, like I said, I do want to get this machine printing in ABS. It is a little easier to sand. Mm-hmm. So there you go. That's kind of my take on the whole thing. Mm-hmm. I have a bunch of ABS, so I should probably use it, I guess.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question, Baca.
It's a great question.
Let's grab a couple more here. Have you ever had experience? This one comes from GTC30. Have you ever had experience using gesso to seal props? I have not.
I know Bob Ross used to use it.
Yeah. I think you might want to talk to Core Geek, who I believe is still in the chat. I know he's used it. I'm pretty sure he's used it to help seal and smooth and sand out Warbla. I'm pretty sure. He'll correct me if he's in the chat. But otherwise, I've never used gesso, not even for its intended purpose. I didn't do a lot of painting in art school. I did mostly drawing.
I don't think we've ever owned a container.
No.
It doesn't... I don't think unless you add a lot of it, it's really too useful for foam, because I don't think it's flexible, but I've never used it, so I don't know.
I know.
I know it's one of those things where it's great on Warbla, but I don't even think... I think Svetlana uses wood glue. Like, I don't even know if she used to use gesso, but you might want to go check out Kumui Cosplay's work and see if she has any information on her site.
There you go. Bob Ross also used titanium white.
Yes.
And phthalo blue. And I can't think of any more colors.
And happy trees.
Thank you for the question, GTC30. Adrian has a question. Any tips on easy cleaning of airbrushes where paint dried inside fully? I actually have a lot of experience with that because I am forgetful and I leave paint in the airbrush all the time.
Yes.
It's not the cheapest, but it's worth picking up an ultrasonic cleaner and... I think it was like $30, $35. I'm looking up on Amazon right now. Ultrasonic cleaner.
You can use anything in them though. Like, they're designed to clean watches and glasses. And so, like, I've cleaned my shop glasses in an ultrasonic cleaner. So we don't just use it for our airbrush.
Yeah, this one's $25. It's got pretty good reviews. Mm-hmm. It's on Amazon Prime. You can clean all your jewelries.
Yeah. It has a little tray that is removable. That one's not as cute as ours. Ours looks like a little face, an owl face.
If you want one that's got a slightly higher rating.
Oh, yeah, that one's ours.
And the same Photoshop jewelry in it.
Wait a minute.
Only mirrored. You can go with that one. We've been using that one, and it's really good.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's you do have to... It's not like you throw your paint-covered... airbrush just in that without trying to clean it first. You want to get as much off as you can using some kind of solvent.
Yep.
Do you like to use lacquer thinner?
Lacquer thinner will work.
Yeah.
Acetone will work.
Yeah.
Rubbing alcohol usually. Mm-hmm. If you're cleaning your airbrush right after you used it, which is what you should do, which I forget to do, run some rubbing alcohol through that or isopropyl alcohol through that to clean it out. That'll help a bunch, especially if you're just using acrylics.
I'll look for a link. I don't think it's one of their premium videos. On Tested, Frank showed how he likes to clean his airbrush. I learned a couple tips from that, so I'll link that in the show notes.
Very good. Cool. Yeah. I see our buddy Jeff, a.k.a. Scorpion, in the chat is talking about fiddling with ABS, talking about the printer again. What I've found is I'm using... the normal settings for ABS with the Ultimaker software, with Ultimaker material. The main thing is that my bed wasn't properly aligned and I had to fidget with it to get it just right. Now with PLA, it'll stick down no problem, especially on that Dremel. But with the ABS, if it was off the bed a little bit on that first layer... it was not sticking down, which was a pain. So I had to level and re-level the bed a couple times to get it just right. I had to get it just right. And even so, it's only okay, but it's working out all right. That's mostly where the tinkering has come for me.
I am now completely distracted. Hey Patch linked something called Box Wars.
What?
It's where people make cardboard armor and fight each other.
Oh my goodness.
he linked it in the chat. You just want to click on it. Or just look at images. Yep, there they are.
Make sure there's no naked people.
just covered by cardboard.
That looks pretty incredible.
Yeah, it does. I like the siege weapons in the one of the upper pictures there.
Oh my gosh. That's incredible.
This is a rabbit hole I'm not sure I want to go down there of learning how to make things out of cardboard.
That's I love remarkable. It. Very cool.
Box Very wars.
Cool. Okay, cool. Let's grab another question. That last one came to us from Adrian. Good luck cleaning your fully dried airbrush. Gregory says, what's your favorite kind of property to make besides space guns? Is that a trick question? Is there other things to make besides space guns?
You're an intergalactic arms dealer. Is your job title, I believe.
True.
Yeah.
It is my job title. I don't know. Let me think. I'm doing a giant weapon right now.
That is not a space gun.
Not a technically a space gun. I'm doing a space gun. I just finished a space gun. and then after that, I really want to make just because it's fun. I want to make some RC cars. I did one of those last year. I'd like to do some more of those. I like my little robot guy. That was kind of fun. Maybe a combination of some sort of little model robot thing with moving parts and radio controls. That sounds really fun, too. So that's kind of what's tickling my fancy right now. Britt, you jonesing for anything?
I want to make a costume.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care what it is anymore. Just want to make something. But I have some other projects I want to finish first. So.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Thank you for the question, Gregory. Next one comes to us from Scott. What recommendation on heat guns do you have? Do I need to spend a lot? Planning on heating PVC pipe or transforming it? I'll show you the one we got. Bought it locally. Heat gun.
Yeah.
Boop. $12. I bought this at Harbor Freight. I don't usually recommend getting tools you're going to use a lot at Harbor Freight, but this guy I have had for like 5 years. It has never broken. I use it almost every day, and I can vouch for it. And if it breaks, then you can just go buy another one because it's only $12. I would not blow a lot of money on a heat gun.
He wants to use it to heat PVC pipes, so that should be just fine. Just don't heat it too far.
Mm-hmm.
And also, how do you prevent it from kinking? You talked about that in your Foamsmith 2 book. Just be careful when you bend it so it doesn't form a kink instead of bending slowly.
There are different ways to do it. You could wrap a spring around it.
Oh, that's fancy.
But basically, if you're heating up PVC with a heat gun and it turns brown, that means it's burning and it's probably releasing chlorine gas, and that's really bad. So if you're heating up a piece of PVC and it starts to burn, set it down and leave the room for a little while.
Mm-hmm. Throw it outside.
Yeah.
Things like that.
There you go. Recommendation on a heat gun. Go grab that one from Harbor Freight, Scott. It's a good one. The D says, what tool do you wish you had?
Vacuform table.
Vacuform table. Like a good, a big, legit one. Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't need to be gigantic, but our little toaster oven one isn't cutting it for bigger things.
I want a mill, like a machining mill. And I got to use one when I was down in L.A., and it was awesome. And there's a big Bridgeport one, which wouldn't fit in our basement. But I don't need one that big. I could get just a fairly big one for doing some machining and milling of metal parts.
Ooh, what would you make? Would you make a space gun?
I would make Han Solo's DL-44 blaster. I would also probably make Malcolm Reynolds' gun again out of metal.
That'd be really
and
cool.
And then I'd probably make the gun from...
cardboard?
The gun from Blade Runner. Yes, as soon as I get a mill, I'm going to make 3 space guns. You know what's funny, too, is like I'm not even a gun nut. We don't even have any real guns.
We don't even know the names of gun parts.
I don't know what the parts are called, but I just like space guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's that whole, like, it's usually a cool character that wields it, so it's that whole being invested in the cool character.
And I want to make Vash the Stampede's gun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's been on your list for a long
time. Let's see here. Thanks, the D. Good question. Habiteer Workshop wants to know if we tried the coffee. No, not yet. We're saving it. Probably this weekend. There's a whole process. There was instructions and a little tiny cup. Very tiny cup.
It looks fancy, yeah, though.
And condensed milk. Like, there's a whole thing. We'll get to it this weekend, I think. He also wants to know, how do you cast clear without a pressure pot? Basically, you need a resin that's going to take a long time to cure.
If it's a very small thing, you can use an epoxy. Mm-hmm. But big things, I don't think, work well with epoxy. I didn't even say that when you... if you, like, go to Tap Plastics' website and look up there... They call it, like, little gem epoxy curing stuff. It says, you know, up to 1 inch in diameter. Any bigger than that, it doesn't really cure.
There are urethanes for casting and clear. Like, Smooth-On has Crystal Clear 204. And it has a 48-hour cure time. So most of the time, if you don't have a pressure pot, whatever it is you're casting... needs to take a long time to cure so that the bubbles have time to evacuate on their own. If you're casting with Smoothcast 300, it cures in about 5 minutes, or it kicks at least. That's not enough time for all the bubbles to get out.
Yeah.
If you're going to use an epoxy, like you were saying.
Yeah, I guess that's technically a resin too. I didn't think about that. So you're talking about urethanes. I was talking about epoxies.
Right.
Yeah.
So here's the crystal clear.
The bummer
urethane.
Thing, yeah, I'm so afraid to buy that. Look at the giant thing in bold. Just says not for home use. And
yeah.
It's like, I don't want to die.
So just keep all of that in mind. But essentially, whatever resin you're using, you want to pick something that does take a long time to cure. A lot of people make those little gems, and they'll use an epoxy and they'll tint it, and it usually takes 8 to 10 to more hours to cure.
Yeah, which is great though, because how the bubbles escape.
Mm-hmm.
And that's awesome. If you don't need to produce a lot of them quickly.
Yeah. Hey, Patch. Super quick question about the vacuum form table and using a heat gun instead of heating elements. I have never got that to work.
I think it depends on the plastic. I wonder... I don't know their different melting points off the top of my head, but PETG will absolutely not deform enough with a heat gun unless you're doing a very, very tiny thing, and then you might as well use a toaster oven.
But also, if you're just hitting it with a heat gun, imagine you've got a hood with your heating element over your plastic in a normal machine. That is going to keep the heat in while you're warming it up. If you're just hitting it with a heat gun, all of that heat escapes. Mm-hmm. And it's more of the oven aspect covering it, keeping the heat in, that gets the plastic to melt than just the direct heat. So using a heat gun, I found, just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Too much heat escaping.
Yeah, and it would have to be tiny anyway. So it's because we have the toaster oven one. That one works great. Mm-hmm. And we borrowed Eric's. Eric Corgeek has a larger toaster oven vacuum form setup. So he came down. We got to use that. But I just need a slightly bigger than that, just to have, you know, for reasons.
Someone in the chat, Sunny Sama, just posted Vash's gun.
That's awesome.
He's working on.
That's
Look
really
at that.
Cool.
Ah, love it. I want to make that someday.
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 That's on your wish list.
So, let's see here. Oh, Habiteer Workshop. Hopefully we answered your question. Thank you.
I don't even remember what we were talking about.
Mayday wants to know, how should a helmet fit your head? I think the main thing with a helmet is it needs to be comfortable. If it's even a tiny bit uncomfortable when you put it on your head... and you're like, oh, that's not so bad. I'll just deal with it. An hour or two into wearing that thing, you're going to have a headache and you're going to hate everything about the world. Mm-hmm. So no matter what, make sure it is large enough to fit your head comfortably. And then if you can put some sort of like upholstery foam padding in there so that it rests on your head nicely and in the correct spot and comfortably, that's what you want to aim for.
Yeah, usually the way I do it is we have just... chunks of upholstery foam that we've gotten over the years, and I snip off little pieces of it and we'll just hot glue them loosely in the helmet. Like, don't like add a boatload of hot glue and make sure it's permanently going to stay there forever at first, So you just add a piece in there, try the helmet on, add another piece somewhere else, try the helmet on, until it stops being wiggly, and make sure you can look down and bend your head backwards and have it not slide off. I like trying to use as little as possible instead of just filling it with foam, because you want that airflow in your helmet. You want to make sure that you're not going to get too warm.
Mm-hmm. There you go, Mayday. Yeah. Hopefully that helped you out. Vacuform Gate 2016. This is what Haypatch was referring to. So this is a box that you put your, looks like your Harbor Freight heat gun in there. And if it works, it works. But notice how it's fully enclosed, so the heat from that isn't going to escape.
I wonder if that's ABS plastic. Could be. Like, because I think with PETG, it's just such a high temperature melting thing. Nope. That's my guess. Because with styrene, it seems like it doesn't take very much for it to start deforming. But my PETG, I just held a heat gun next to it and just watched it not warp.
That's a really cool way to do it. Basically,
that's a cool
looking
setup.
Your own little oven, and then I imagine that the plastic droops down into that box, and then you just pop it right over. Very cool. Thanks for sharing that. Hey, Patch. Let's grab the next question here from Toasty Knickers, which is a really awesome name. I don't have Toasty Knickers right now. It's very chilly down here. How well does turning a 3D print into a molded piece work for you? Would you rather 3D print multiple of the same piece and clean them, or clean one good print and mold it? If I'm going to make more than, let's say, three of a thing, then I am going to mold it and cast it, because the workflow for turning a 3D printed piece into a mold is pretty great. Like, it's not that hard, and it produces some really amazing results. So yeah, if I'm going to make two or three or more of something, I will make a mold of it. Like the ring. Actually, I did a mold of this guy so I could do it in a different material. So I could do it in metal. But also, I could make more. Which I'm going to have to, because this pewter will eventually get all beat up.
I like the idea, too, of for your ring, for instance, you could do a wax casting. And then maybe we could do a sand mold thing. With,
and cast it in a higher metal.
Yeah.
So because having the mold doesn't just mean that you can make more copies of it, it gives you flexibility.
Yeah.
You can 3D print a part, or 3D print the piece, but the finished part is a solid urethane, which is a lot more durable than a 3D printed piece.
There's a neat video, I don't remember where it was, of the Iron Man armor pieces. I think that was when Stan Lee was poking around the show.
Oh, at Legacy?
Legacy FX. Yeah. They were showing off the molds for some of the Iron Man armor pieces, and they're all like, well, yeah, the Masters were 3D printed, but we cleaned them up, and now we have these molds, and we can cast structurally sound urethane pieces out of it, or rubber ones for the stunt people. So they cast all these different kinds of Iron Man suits out of it for all the different needs for the movie, which I thought was really cool.
This is great.
Yeah, it's awesome.
They let
him
paint this helmet, and he just blasts the crap out of it with paint.
Instantly. All I can think is, like, they had to go back and... Or maybe that was, like, an off-casting.
I'll dump that link in the chat there. That's a fun video to go watch.
Yeah.
But they do some molding and some casting. Yep, there's a mold for one of the Iron Man face mask pieces there.
Yeah, the mold itself is really cool, too. But yeah, it's a great video to refer to when someone tries to be all like, well, 3D printing is going to replace making stuff. And it's like, no, it's a part of the process. It shows how super useful it is, but also we still mold and cast things.
Yeah, especially if you're going to turn it. So if you print it in something rigid, you can sand it nice and smooth, and then mold it and cast it in a rubber. So you've got lots of different options if you're going to mold it.
Yeah.
The Boolean Gemini that I'm building, I'm not going to mold that. I only want one of them. So it doesn't need to be heavy or durable. I'm going to finish it and put it up on the wall. So I'm not molding and
casting. It's probably never going to leave the house.
Probably never going outside.
It's not a convention prop.
No. Jeff in the chat there is going to Reynolds in Burbank. The coolest place in the world.
They're so cool.
He did some 3D printed spaceships, and he's going to mold and cast them. Well, I am very excited to see those.
Sweet. Don't be afraid to chat them up. They love
Yeah, those guys are awesome.
Yeah, they're super great people. Go bother them.
All right, let's grab. We got one more question. Last one was from Toasty Knickers. Thank you, Toasty Knickers. Tim wants to know, when you're expanding your skill sets, can you set aside time to learn and practice, or do you have to do it all on the job? Usually, I pick something that I don't know how to do and incorporate it into a project. So, like, the metal casting for this ring, it was a couple of things. I got to use the Form 2. So I got to learn how to use that machine really well. I got to learn how to 3D model this. I printed it on the Form 2. And then I got to learn how to bumble my way through some metal casting, which I hadn't done before. So this project was a couple of different skills that I could get my toes wet on and end up with a really cool finished product.
I think it's really rare now if we're learning some kind of skill set that it's not involved in a project that is producing content. So even if it's just us, like me playing around with cardboard on the live stream yesterday, it turned into content. It wasn't just me learning cardboard on the side. I got to hang out with the prop tarts. They gave me some great pointers, and I got a video out of it that will go up sometime. So yeah, that's great though. It kind of having to produce content like that with these new skills kind of forces us to actually, you know, stick with it. Like Fusion 360 can be really frustrating at first, especially if you've never used a 3D modeling program before, but knowing that I have to get a video out of it, it's like, gotta learn it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was my challenge with the Boolean Gemini, was I wanted to model everything in Fusion 360. And I figured if I finished an entire space gun, then I along the way, I would learn most of what I needed to know using that application. And I think I did. And I learned a lot of things that I now know I don't know. And then I can investigate and learn better for the next project. So I do. I try and loop in new skills with whatever upcoming projects I have.
Toasty Knickers is happy we like their name.
That's awesome. That's it. That's all the questions. We got to get moving here because we're going to the Soto Makerspace here in Seattle, and I hope I see a couple of you guys there.
Oh, Trina Taco just submitted a question.
Oh, we can grab one more.
Bonus question. All right, let me throw it in there.
Awesome.
Boop. There you go.
Tran Otaku says, what do you do with spare 3D pieces? I have like a box load of test prints and I don't know what to do with.
That's a good question.
You can see this box by my left ear is our box full of test prints, and it just keeps getting more full of stuff. So we don't know. We haven't made a decision yet.
I have. I'll grab this really quickly.
Oh yeah, our little peoples, our little mans.
Sometimes I'll do experiments on our 3D prints that we have just laying around that we're not using. Like this was the one that used to be the surface of the sun colored.
Yep.
I had some extra, I think this was Epsilon Pro, and so I just brushed it on there to smooth out all the print lines to see how it would work. He has drips on his hands now, big blobby hands.
Yeah.
And then I had some, why was I, I don't remember why I was using it. Oh, I was doing something with fluorescent blue pigment, and I put some in one of our extra little bottles in XTC 3D, and it did pour down into the bottle, so now I have a little glowy thing. Here's some other ones where I put just finishes on 3D prints just to see what they would do, like little leftover stuff.
I have a feeling a lot of these things are going to get thrown into boxes and sent to our high-level patrons.
That would be really cool. when we were doing that, the Reinhardt helmet, a couple of the printing pieces failed, so we used those as tests to see how we could glue it together, mm-hmm. the best method for, you know, attaching giant helmet pieces. So, yeah. Testing stuff, but then, otherwise, we just hang out in a box. We have the same problem. It's mostly PLA.
Yep.
I mean, it'll eventually decompose, right?
Sure.
Sure.
There you go. Okay, bonus question. Thank you, Tran Otaku, and thank you everyone else for bringing your questions today. You guys are awesome. This show would be nothing without you. You guys are great.
Thank you so much.
That's about it. We're going to run off to go hang out with some makers here in Seattle. We're going to go see Star Wars tomorrow. We just bought our tickets. Hope you guys get to go see Rogue One this weekend as well. And thanks so much for hanging out with us. We'll see you all on the next Prop Live.
Bye.